Hey, Electric City fans, it's Luke Green, and I'm so happy to be signing for Electric City FC. I can't wait to get to Peterborough and give my all for the club. See you soon.
It's been a month since you've last heard from me. And I admit at first I just was not able to connect to people, at least like enough to be able to give you an episode every week. That's quite frustrating for a podcaster. And then our big storm hit a few weeks ago. Our power was out for several nights. There's a lot of damage done to the area. Some people are still just getting their power back now, or just recently did this past week. So there was that to go on. And then just a matter of just finding time. Anyway. Well, it's good to be back. You know, over this time period, though, the month of agony, there is one thing that keeps you going, makes you forget about all the terrible things happening in the world that we don't need to get into. You know, Ontario's choice of painful suffering that it's inflicted upon itself again. But that's just one of many examples. One thing's kept me going is sports. You know, I have to admit it. I have to let it come out. You've heard me refer to sports before. It's come up on my radio show. I just have to let it flow freely. So what I've been doing the past month, well, there was the NBA playoffs. It still is on right now. I was a little more passionate about it before when, of course, the Raptors was in it. I'm a big Giannis fan. I was into that series. I'm a big Luka fan. I was following that series. Well, they're all gone. But I'm still following that quite a bit. Then there's just Nadal. Just this week, watching Nadal-Djokovic match, quarterfinals. Makes my day. It's been other things too. Oh, Real and Liverpool. I won't say I was cheering for, but I loved the result. So that brings me, though, a little closer to what we're talking about today. So we have our Electric City FC soccer club at Peterborough, or football club, as you may want to call it. FC, you know. But then there is a, you know, supporters group that if you want the usual fan stuff, the game day experience, I suggest you check out The Current. But then there's Electric City Supporters Trust. What is that? Well, let's just quote them off their website here. The Electric City Supporters Trust aims to support the beautiful game across Peterborough and the Kawarthas through a variety of projects and initiatives. We are a volunteer-driven, federally registered nonprofit corporation. From grassroots to the professionals level, we have some very exciting things in store to allow the average fan to leave a lasting mark on our game and our city. What does this mean? A supporters' trust, which you're about to hear as I interview the president of Electric City Supporters Trust, Jeremy Cork. But let's hear this. What is a supporters' trust? It was founded by the fans of Peterborough Soccer, sparked by the debut of Electric City FC, and together we seek to establish an organization based on similar models seen in British sports, which, you know, can lead in a lot of directions, British sports. But anyway, but I think what they're thinking is a formal, democratic, just borrowing quotes off what they're saying, and a not-for-profit organization of fans, trying to strengthen the influence of the supporters, giving voice at the club, and also trying to promote the game in general. So it's basically an attempt at a cultural change in our community, because soccer is limited in its past here, especially compared to hockey, even other sports before that, baseball, lacrosse, as is referred to in the interview, as you'll hear too, maybe even rugby. And also just a local team that the city can get excited about, anything, you know, something as an alternative to the Peterborough Petes. Well, you're going to hear my interview today with Electric City Supporters Trust President Jeremy Cork. Enjoy.
Usually my podcast is meant for more of the art scene in Peterborough, but I can't help but go back to sports now and again.
Some people would argue sports are art, but I'll let more educated people on that subject than me make that argument.
Yes, there's that, or, you know, sports represent a lot of life in general. Yeah.
Yep.
Politics and otherwise. Yes. But yeah. So, yeah, I guess I was just wanting to just give voice to the Supporters Trust in general on this program. And also just your overall goals for the organization, where it comes from, and what you've sort of seen of, even though we're pretty early in the year, what you've seen from Electric City FC so far, not just on the field. I mean more as like the club and the organization as a whole. And I guess what you see is maybe some of the challenges that might lay ahead in the future. So that's kind of what I was hoping for this.
Sure.
What I'm sort of seeing. So I guess, so you are head of Supporters Trust FC. I believe that's the official name. Is
it not? I am the president of the Electric City Supporters Trust.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Electric City. Yeah. And where's just for people in general, what is a supporters trust with regards to soccer, football?
So a supporters trust, we're taking a lot of our direction from similar organizations in the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. Not just the United Kingdom, but predominantly that's where our inspiration comes from. And it's important to note that trust in Canada is a very different legal entity than a trust in the UK. So we're not technically a trust because there's a lot of things that hampers us from doing, but we are a registered federal nonprofit. And what our goal is to provide some more material and financial support for the game in the Peterborough area. We'd like to give the average fan a sense of ownership in the game. And it's true that our organization came about as fans of Electric City Football Club, and we definitely want to work with the club on some things. But unlike a lot of trusts overseas, we are looking at the game in general instead of one club in particular.
Yeah. Okay. So it's meaning not just for this club, but also for the, like you said, the game in general, like giving the fans' voice of the direction of both the club and how the game can be developed within Peterborough.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
I like to say that the supporters groups, they're out there in the stands on game day. It's their job to wave the flags and make noise, and that's great. We're there to represent the fans in the places where fans generally aren't found: the boardroom, the council chambers, the bank office, that sort of thing.
Right. Right. So, yeah, the bamboozle horns, the smoke, the chants, the songs, that's more for the other organization that's linked with the Electric City FC. That's like the current, more or less.
That's the current, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the nature of Peterborough and the community and the size of the community is that there is a lot of overlap in the membership between the two groups, but we are distinctly independent from them.
Right. Okay. And that is definitely a bold thing to take on. I guess, like you said, you look at some examples in the UK as gave you this idea. I guess what made you think this could work in a place that doesn't really have a huge soccer history, and also maybe like in a league like League One Ontario, which is not just far cry from MLS, but it's far cry, say, from Premier League or whatever overseas.
Certainly. I mean, I would even go as far as say it's also fair. It's a far cry from the Canadian Premier League. There is definitely a gulf in between, not an insurmountable gulf, but there is one. Mm-hmm. So I beg your pardon. I think I took us off a bit. I think your question there was what made us think that we could
just what makes you think this
brings us to Peterborough?
Yeah. Cause I don't like just stepping back for one sec. While that may not be the trend of not just globally, but even maybe nationally, there is still a lot in Peterborough and a surrounding area where you basically, you think of hockey in a sports mm-hmm. sense, hockey in the winter, and everybody talking about, say, the what happened with, say, well, a week ago anyway, Blues and Avalanche a week ago, and, you know, some baseball in the summer. And that's basically
and lacrosse.
A bit of lacrosse, yeah. Definitely. And that's basically it. Maybe some entities here or there, but there isn't culturally soccer doesn't have a huge connection with this community. So that's what I'm kind of saying.
No, that's very true. We have been surprised at how much of the traditional non-soccer circles have reached out, not just to us, but to the club as well. We've certainly gotten a lot of interest from people who have not been traditional soccer people. We've got a lot of hockey fans, a lot of lacrosse fans interested, and that's been really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how's it gone so far with regards to membership for your supporters trust? And, it's a two-part question, but let's just start there. How's it gone so far with like gaining membership or interest in your supporters trust from what maybe you imagined when you started?
Well, so far it's actually gone pretty good. Obviously mm-hmm. I can't give you numbers right now, mm-hmm. but we've yet to do an actual proper membership drive. Mm-hmm. And so far we've just piggybacked on a couple of events that the Current hosted, and it's been word of mouth, and we've been very impressed with the response we've had. I would expect probably that we'll have a membership drive over the summer at some point. I don't have any dates to commit to right now, but I think if this trend continues, I think we're headed in a good direction.
Okay. And then I guess the second part to this question is, I know it's still really the really early days, but do you feel like you've made any sort of progress in gaining sort of a voice at the club for the supporters trust?
Yes. Yes, I think so. When this idea of Electric City FC was first aired, you know, going back June of 2 years ago, I guess it was, I kind of stuck my head out pretty quick to get in touch with the powers that be. And I've been pushing the importance of a trust from the very beginning. And, we've had some very constructive meetings with the club since then. We've definitely had some communication and dialogue back and forth. What have we accomplished so far? Well, unfortunately, because of the early days we're in, we've not really accomplished anything as of yet. You know, we're still in the formation stage. Our goals for this year is solvency and continuation past our AGM. But we're hoping after the AGM, once we have a fully elected board, that then we can start working on some of the projects we've got on the back burner.
Okay. All right. And I don't, can you say what any of those projects are, or is that sort of still being something's analyzed at the moment?
There's still a lot of discussion and, mm-hmm. as you say, analysis going on. So unfortunately, at this point, I can't comment on anything we're working on. Mm-hmm. I will say that we are a democratic organization. Mm-hmm. So the projects that we are thinking about are coming from our interim board.
Okay.
It's entirely possible that once we have our AGM and we elect a full board and all the members have a chance to have their say, those projects may change entirely.
Okay. Now, in reference to your Peterborough Currents article I read, you looked at one model in the UK as being AFC Wimbledon. Is mm-hmm. there, you maybe can comment on that or say about any other models you've looked at in the UK or in Europe that you look as something that you would like to see supporters trust, at least like not an exact copy, but something along that sure. model.
Well, yeah. One of our board members is a member of the Dons Trust for AFC Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. Who own their club outright. A lot of trusts come about due to crisis. And mm-hmm. in their case, they lost their team. He's going to correct me after if I've got these facts wrong. So don't worry about that.
Okay.
So the Dons Trust came together and they rebuilt their team. Mm-hmm. I personally am a member of the Shrimps Trust, which is the supporters trust for Morecambe FC in English League One. We also sort of came about as out of crisis. We had an ownership change. There were several years of very dubious finances, including an investor that just disappeared off the face of the earth. So our trust came about as an attempt to kind of provide some stability to the club. And things they've done since then have included, for example, buying equipment for the club for training purposes. Morecambe having had for a longest time an extremely small budget, also paying the manager's fee when he says things the official didn't agree with, and he was right also. Admittedly, I'm a bit biased there. So those are two examples right there of very different forms of trust in the UK. You've got one that owns the club outright, makes all the decisions about the club, right down to what advertising contracts they're going to go with. And then you've got the opposite end where you've got a trust that's just trying to help out where they can.
Right. And some of that comes from what the original idea of like soccer, I guess, first in Great Britain and then in Europe sort of came from. Like they came out of a community sort of public kind of togetherness that was, and that's how those clubs were run in the early days of, say, the 1920s or the 1930s.
Right. I mean, it's right there in the name. It's a club.
Yes. Yes. Sadly, I guess, you know, that's kind of not what's really evolved both here and definitely in Europe. Like, you know, if you're reading these days about like Chelsea's recent takeover by, I forget his name, but he's basically a hedge fund investor in the U.S. who has billions of dollars of support with other people. Or even, you know, a lot of some people's favorite club in Peterborough, at least in a Premier League way, like Liverpool, like it's had the Glazer family for years.
Absolutely.
And things like that. So I don't know, those sort of things have kind of, I guess what I'm trying to get at, like we're in Electric City FC is in League One Ontario, and you're talking about AFC Wimbledon being in League One in England. Are these League, things?
They're in League Two, actually. They League just got, two,
sorry.
Just yeah. got relegated.
Okay.
Sorry. My colleague's not happy about that.
No, I bet not. No. And oh, I'll mention mine too. I, for years, have been a member of Schalke FC in Germany.
Oh, nice.
Who were just won Bundesliga two, but generally these things, I guess what I'm trying to get, are they really only the sort of the sense of fans having voice and having a say in direction of the club? Are they really just really sort of attainable for either these lower divisions or smaller clubs? Like if we're talking about like who just played in the Champions League final, like Real and Liverpool, that's not a reality sort of thing. Is that a fair statement, I guess, is what I'm asking?
That's a really good question. I think it's cultural. I think the answer depends on where you are. I'll be the first to admit I'm not too familiar with the Bundesliga, but I believe they've got the 50+1 rule where it may not be trusts that own their club, but 50+1% of their fans do. If we want to jump ship a little bit here and look at something else, and I'm absolutely not an American football fan, so beg your pardon if I get this wrong, but Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. No, I was going to bring them up. Yes. Yeah. Because I felt like the Currents article is being a little too complimentary about Europe and, you know, saying, well, you know, fans can have say in soccer clubs over there, over here, you know, North American sports is a totally like corporate.
It's kind very of, different.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Which I think in a really generalized way is true, but you can look at some sort of things like that that can challenge that notion. There's certainly a lot of like things I was just saying about clubs in Europe, and also here, the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. That's a community run club. And also even the NFL in general, as maybe every owner is a Republican, but still there's this sort of sense of parity that they have with the league, like their financial rules and regulations that they have in place. That's the reason. I mean, maybe the New England Patriots have foregone that, but generally you're looking at different contenders all the time. You're not having one team dominate the other sort of thing. Just to look at this year of Electric City FC that's gone by so far, what have you been most impressed by the club so far, just in how it's run? But and we're talking both men and women's clubs.
Oh, of course, definitely.
Yeah.
I think the most impressive thing, I hate to sound patronizing here, but I think one of the most impressive things for me is that it's happened. I mean, when this was first announced 2 years ago, I very much looked at that, thought, oh, that's another Peterborough idea that's going to get talked about. and it's going to go nowhere, or it's going to make a little bit of a splash and we're going to say good enough. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm quite impressed with what the club has put forward as a product right now.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's quite impressive how these different people came together. Like, I forget how many different financial supporters the club has, but it's a dozen or so that have come together and helped support this club, and all sort of with a seeming passion for the club, like in the game growing in this area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And this is even with us not having our own stadium just yet either. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit of a make do operation with the stadium, and they're making do very well.
Yes. Yeah. Is there anything you see just in the near future as something as an area of growth for Electric City FC?
That's a really good question. I think that obviously the move to their own stadium is mm-hmm. going to be a big deal. As a fan, and yes, as somebody who is a member of the supporters group too, I think that we're all looking forward to having our own home. Mm-hmm. And I think that that could really become a bit of a beacon in the community. Because at the end of the day, we're playing at Fleming. And as much as I love playing up at Fleming, it's not our home yet. There is setup and there's tear down that has to happen. We're renting it. Mm-hmm. So as far as growth, I think that I'm really looking forward to seeing the stadium go up. I'm really looking forward to seeing our own home go up. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really going to cement the club's place in the community as a permanent icon.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was told this in my interview before, but with the club's president, but where is the location they're looking at to have this stadium being built? Because I thought they had something in mind.
If you spoke to the president, I'm sure that it's fine to say it's up in the north end.
Yes, he did say that. I don't think he's giving me a precise address, but he had something around that being said. Self with soccer, where does that sort of interest come from that you have? On a personal level.
On a personal level, I will freely admit that I got into soccer because it was the thing that nobody else was into around here.
Oh.
I completely admit that.
Okay.
But then I got the bug from it. Like, mm-hmm. I started with Toronto FC mm-hmm. since year two. Yeah, mm-hmm. year two. And it was just from watching. Got into it from that. I ended up, through a couple of machinations, becoming a fan of Morecambe. And of course, been playing FIFA, Football Manager. I even played for a few years at Fleming, at the exact same field that Electric City's at right now. With an over 50 league, I was half the age and they were three times the skill for me, but yeah, that's where it came from. And you know, my mom is an old school Man United supporter. Okay. Saw George Best playing in Toronto back in the day.
Right,
so that's where it comes from with me. And okay. I just fell in love with the game from there.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. it initially started out as a bit of a counterculture movement for me, my own little personal one.
Okay. All right. No, I can understand that thinking. What is the sort of the communication level like with Electric City Supporters Trust and the club itself? Like, do you have been able to have any sort of questions answered, or do you have some sort of forum that you have to? Even the current, like, what are your relationships with that? That organization as well. I know you said there's a lot of overlap, but as well. So I guess both the club A and B, the current.
Well, certainly with the club, yeah, we've got contacts, we've got emails, we've mm-hmm. had some questions answered very early on before kickoff. We were getting some concerns from our membership about the accessibility of the site, for example. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get in touch with the club, and the club got back to us, and we were able to have that discussion. They made assurances and alleviated our concerns. So we do have an open line of discussion with the club. Obviously, the club's busy right now. Certainly around the home openers, there was about 3 weeks of radio silence where we were all doing our own thing, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But yeah, I'd say we've got a pretty constructive relationship with the club right now.
Okay. All right. Good to hear. And then one thing, and I guess the current as well, like, do you, Do you communicate with them at all, or you just let them do their thing and you do yours?
I would say kind of the answer is yes to both sides.
Okay.
Of that. Again, we've got a lot of overlap, but we do acknowledge that we're distinct entities.
Okay.
So we try to do our own thing. And when we have meetings about one, we try to stay on the business about that particular entity and not swerve into the other lane. As far as interaction between the two groups go, again, we stay as independent as we can, but our interaction is mostly cross promotion. Again, the current hosted a couple events that they were kind enough to let us jump in on and use to drive up membership. So it's a good partnership we have going, but again, we are very careful to remain independent of each other.
Yes. Okay. And yeah, and I guess both promotion is something you both want at the moment.
Sure.
I guess in the end, I'm someone who always likes critical thinking done about any type of topic. I was reminded of this, sorry, not to get too far off topic, but when That's I was okay. listening to, if I'm wanting to listen to constructive criticism of the Toronto Raptors, I'm not going to Sportsnet. It's really just a PR thing in itself. Right. So if I guess I was looking, same with you, I could see the current being, I'm not saying it is, but I can see it filling that more kind of a PR kind of position. And if I was looking something a little more of a critical analysis of whatever aspect the club, I'd be looking more towards you, which I guess is in the end why I joined you, say, instead of the current. So yeah.
Although I would definitely suggest you talk to the current too.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I there's definitely been points in our brief history where the trust and the current have disagreed on things.
Mm-hmm.
We may be the same people. We may be in some of the same meetings, but ultimately when we look at the different organizations and the different makeup of their leadership and versus our leadership, there's positions that the trust has taken and there's positions that the current has taken that have gone counter to each other, but in the interest of that respective organization.
I've seen what your reaction was to it. Basically a disappointment of the men's team already having three coaches this year. And I guess it is somewhat a little head scratching, but perhaps the change from the first coach to the second coach is a completely different story than the second to the third. But I guess at the moment, do you have a sort of a few worries about how the club is run in that sense, of what they're looking for in a manager and why this sudden turnover would early in the year when I haven't followed every game, but I didn't think in a result since the club was doing so badly.
I think that there were reasons why it happened that were internal operation reasons for the club. And I'm not party to them and I shouldn't be party to them either. I can't say why that decision was made. I can say that, yes, we were disappointed that it happened, but we're also, the club is about more than one individual, and we're looking forward to seeing what Coach Ribeiro can do. Mm-hmm. And it's, we've made our statement and it's time for us to move forward.
Right.
Okay. We're maybe, I don't know, a quarter of the way into the season. Still very excited for what's coming up.
Okay. And is there something you're seeing from the women's club that you impresses you, or maybe you don't see or wish there was more of on the men's club? Just how it's run or how it's managed or how they're picking up or recruiting players?
That's a good question. I don't really have any insight into that right now. I will give the club credit for starting the women's program as early as it did.
Mm-hmm.
That was impressive because I know originally it wasn't even planned to get off the ground till 2023 or 2024. So full marks to them for bringing it on at the same time as the men's team. And also I got to give the club a lot of credit for promoting it with the same parity as the men's team. Mm-hmm. When they were announcing players earlier in the year, it was always one on the men's team, one on the women's team. And I like that, good to show that it's just as important.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, no, I think that has been impressive. Now I think you were quoted in saying the current is soccer is a people's game, as more along those lines. Mm-hmm. And I think overall, that's been an accepted fact overall in a global sense. I would say, the only sport I can think of as a slight challenge to soccer these days, or football in a global sense, is perhaps basketball. But
I'd even throw rugby into that mix too.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and I was going to even say cricket seems to be growing a bit as well. I guess, is it just sort of, do you feel like this idea of integrating the game more into Peterborough and surrounding area itself, do you feel that's just sort of like a matter of time, like things like getting a stadium right in the city, and also, is Electric City FC as it picks up steam, sort of thing along those lines. The main idea of I guess what you're getting, what I'm getting from you so far as supporters trust is like right now in its early days, you're just wanting to like have this sort of idea of promoting the club and also promoting the idea to the fans that they can have say in how the club grows within the community.
We can certainly advocate for the fans. We can certainly tell the club what we'd like them to do. I mean, at the end of the day, they're obviously their own independent organization of us. Mm-hmm. They don't need to listen to us. But how the game grows in the community is the other half of our mission statement too, as you say. Mm-hmm. We can definitely put some pressure on other groups in the community, advocate for them, and advocate for our membership in context to them too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is a way of also outside of Electric City FC, is there a way you're looking at it as a supporters trust of promoting the game within the city, at a lower level kind of thing?
I would say that there's been a few ideas talked about, but nothing I can really disclose at this time.
Okay. All right. That's for the AGM, I assume. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Do you feel like that is that just for the city in general, you feel like that is an area of growth? Because I believe there's been soccer leagues around here for quite a number of years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's only going up.
Okay. Your supporters trust is there any other things you're sort of looking forward to in the near future for your organization?
I am looking forward to, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I am looking forward to that AGM and specifically hearing what our members want us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much the board specifically, but I do want to know what our membership wants from us. We've got, as I said, we have some projects we're thinking that would be good for us, good for the city, good for the game, good for the club even, but we could be entirely out to lunch. Okay. It's entirely possible that our membership comes on board and says, no, we think that the best thing that we can be putting our resources towards is starting a youth team, for example. I'm not saying that's one of the options on the table. So I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody else's input is, because I think I know what I'd like to see the trust become in the city, but this is for everybody. This is for all of us. This is our game and our city.
Okay. And let's continue on this AGM. When and where is this taking place?
The AGM will be in November. We don't have a location hammered down yet. I'm not sure we have an exact date hammered down yet either. I'd have to check that, but legally our AGM needs to be in November.
Okay. Okay. That's great. And do you find this is becoming sort of a full-time kind of job for you at the moment, or is that a fair thing to say?
It certainly can be. The interim board right now is only three people. We've already had some discussions about bringing more people onto the interim board. Because the workload is definitely increasing right now and we need to start stepping up on a few things. So it's only going to get busier.
Okay. All right. So you just on a personal level. So last thing, I guess I'll talk about, you said you had the one club in England that you're a member of. What club is that again? Sorry. You said
Morecambe.
Morecambe. Okay. I admit I don't know too much about them, and I used to follow English soccer a bit. But and is there any other club or specific players that you'd like that you like you sort of have a passionate liking for?
Well, I started off with Toronto FC, but I have to admit this season I haven't really been paying much attention. I can't imagine why. I mean, it's not like there's anything else going on right now.
Yeah.
Toronto FC, Morecambe, obviously the Canadian national teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really exciting. And I think for both the Trust and the club, their performance could not have come at a better time.
Right.
It's been a benefit for everybody in the game. But those are my predominant ones right now. There's certainly some other clubs I'm interested in and have been following. But in terms of actually throwing my support behind, it's Electric City, Toronto, and Morecambe.
Okay. Yeah. But that's good. You pointed out both the men's and women's team World Cup successes, both qualifying or winning. Yeah, I think that's one thing that really has helped the game in general in this country. And
definitely,
I think that's, again, this sort of along with other sports, but these sort of rising sports that sort of, again, are kind of challenging these traditions of hockey, baseball kind of thing in this city has helped it a lot. So, well, I'll look forward later to this year to this AGM and see what's happening. I guess this is just, you know, a lot of it, this sounds like sort of a year of discovery and just promoting voice for both your organization, the club, and the game in general in the community. And that's a great thing.
A year of discovery. That's a really good way to put it. Yes.
And I wish you the best for that. And I thank you very much for taking the time
to thank you.
Talk with me again.
Well, I don't want to be too self-deprecating. Nobody enjoys listening to that, so I won't be. But that was pretty, maybe not me at my best. I could have really expanded on a few topics or hit upon a few points that I didn't in that interview. But, you know, I think I was forgetting. Well, I don't know how I could forget, but I was not really putting it into the proper context. This is a club in its initial year of operation. It didn't seem that long ago, close to a year ago now, that the different owners came and gave that great speech at Silver Bean Cafe. You know, we can't be making too much of any like team issues when it's still sort of a young seedling, the whole thing. The supporters' trust, the current, the club, the fans, the supporters, finding a place to play, all those things. But nevertheless, you have to correct your own errors. When I was referring to the Glazer brothers, I think I was referring to that in the context of Liverpool. So this is one of a few examples that shows you the people who control the world, the true capitalist consortiums, they are the ones who are most interested in the Premier League as their playthings. So the Glazer brothers, of course, own Man United, along with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Liverpool is owned by the Fenway Sports Group, which include, among other people, now LeBron James. Hint, he was at the game there that they lost to Real Madrid, the Champions League game. And Chelsea's new owners, there's Todd Boehly, but really owned by I think it's called Cleartake Capital Consortium. Okay? And Todd Boehly just, we don't get on it too much, but he made his money co-founding the investment firm Eldridge Industries. Okay, so three big American owners there. There's, of course, Man City's that, you know, we can go on about that forever. I'm going to stop. More importantly, to end off on this episode, so the Electric City Supporters Trust, you can find them at electriccitytrust.ca. You can sign up for a membership if you're interested. I think they're still looking for their exact direction of where they want to go from what I got from the interview, but I think if you're wanting to build on this, we're a club that is not just for the win-loss on the field, but for what the club can add and give to the community and to the sport in general. I think this is a great idea, and I suggest you look into it. And I'm not going to wait a month before I give you another episode of Corner of Hunter and George. Okay? So I'll see you next time.